So how's Warped been this year compared to previous years?
It's been great. You know, this year's awesome because it's kind of like us playing in front of people that want to see us that know who we are, but also a lot of new people because it's a lot of new young people out there coming to see us. That's the first time they've ever seen us and things, so it's been really good for us. We've enjoyed playing for those people.
Okay, so your most recent full-length, Go, was self-financed, recorded without label pressure.
Yep.
While you're back on Epitaph for distribution, and you've got your Boombox Generation as your actual label, do you see the DIY process as being a more necessary route for bands?
Well, yes, but truthfully, we're on Epitaph. The name is just, Boombox Generation is just on there. Epitaph handles everything, and it's a label. It's more of just a split on a more even basis, though. It's not like it used to be. But yeah, definitely, I think it's a great opportunity for bands and people and musicians, any kind of art. You know, it's so easy to do it these days. There's so many tools at your disposal that did not exist, you know, 5-6 years ago, that it's really easy to make some music and get it out to people.
So, do you have any plans to release any albums from other bands through Boombox Generation? Does it have the power to do that?
In the long run, yes. I think we think that we will do that. We'll have to be in a situation where it makes sense, and it makes sense for that band to be put out on something. I don't know on what level it'll be, if it just release a 7-inch that's a short press of some band or stuff like that. But right now, it's just kind of, we'll take it as it goes. We'll see what happens.
So a lot of Go, from what I hear, was demoed on buses between tours. Do you enjoy that process more so than writing in a practice space or studio? And do you see yourselves doing that more?
I definitely prefer writing in a room with people. You can get a lot. Sometimes it's great to flush something out. Like if we have an idea that we can't get somewhere, it is great to go and hide by yourself with your computer and just work it out, work out the problems, and then bring that and go, what do you think of this? And then work that out. But there's something that happens, there's a magic that happens every once in a while, and that can't happen if you're not in a room. There's also, like, you know, the banging your head against the wall part of that, but it's a process, and sometimes things are great, and sometimes you're like, oh, this isn't working as well as I'd hoped.
So, I would normally have some specific questions about the album, but on alternativepress.com, you guys were nice enough to have a track-by-track explaining stuff, so that pretty much answers that, and anyone who has those questions can look at that. Okay, so there were bonus tracks on Go, Bottom Feeder, Give Up, Give In, Alcohol Eyes. They were very strong songs, as opposed to just, you know, definite B-sides that were just tacked on. Did they not fit the flow of the standard edition? Or?
You know, there's a lot of battles that go on in that process there, and there's a lot of compromises made and stuff. You know, I personally love Bottom Feeder, and it was one of my favorite songs. I wish it was on the album, but other people didn't think so. It was a little different sounding than some of the other songs. Like, even, like, the vocal performance is slightly different. So we felt like it maybe stuck out a little bit, and that, you know, it was some compromises made to get another song on instead of that song. You know, stuff like that goes on. You know, it's kind of a wheeling and dealing process. And at that time, I think we were a little more divided on things. People wanted the record to flow real nice, like kind of it's a little more mature of a record and stuff. You throw those songs in there, and it's not, you know. Not maybe Give Up, Give In could probably fit on there. Give Up, Give In, the problem with that one for us is we wrote it for Even If It Kills Me, and rewrote it, 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 and rewrote it. Finally came to a version that we were like, this is great, I like this. But for us, it's so old that it's hard for us to be in love with that song, but it's probably a great song to everybody else who's never heard it. Yeah. Alcohol Eyes, that was just a little more tongue-in-cheek than the rest of the album, so we didn't want to put that on there, even though it's an awesome song. It reminds me of the rent, you know, of the Rentals and That Dog. I like that song. But yeah, compromises.
And as a fan, just buy the deluxe edition and you get everything, so that's fine. All right. So, since it's somewhat local to where we come from, I'm curious about the Making Moves EP. I think Jesse had something to do with that, tour managing someone. But how did you get involved with the recording at Drexel?
Basically what happened is Jesse was at a party, met Terry Tompkins, who's the guy who runs the Drexel program, the label Mad Dragon there. And he basically, they were talking about releasing 7-inches and how cool Jesse wanted to start a label. And it just progressively worked into this idea of, like, Mochizé Soundtrack curating a series with our label and their label basically doing the legwork and the students getting to help produce, pick out the bands, their A&R team. Like, it basically gives their chance for their students to actually work a full cycle of what it's like with four different bands and then us. And that's just kind of, it birthed this whole thing where they were like, we'll pay for this thing, find some bands together, and we'll make this little series of interesting stuff.
Did you just come up with the songs for Making Moves for that release, or were they sort of left over from the sessions of Go?
Well, Severance is a song I wrote when we were in Brazil with All Time Low. Well, I'd written the guitar part prior to that. I had that song for a while, not lyrically, but and then when we were in Brazil, I finally was like, Justin, you got to come up with a better melody than you've come up with for this. And he finally did there. We recorded it, and then it's just something we had, and it didn't fit on Go because we had so many slow songs already, and Die, kind of, Everyone Will Die kind of took the cake as, like, the saddest song in the world, and we didn't want to have another, like, even though I really like Severance, so we kind of shelved it for future release and stuff. And then Major Leagues was another song from Go that we were toying with at the end but didn't complete and then didn't have any words for, but it was an idea that had worked out and we hadn't really gone far with it yet.
So, has there been any progress on a new album?
Yeah, well, we've recorded one song so far and it just got mastered. We're probably going to release it soon. As like a single or something, and then we're probably going to get to recording the rest of the record in August, September, I'm hoping. We have most of it written, so.
Any idea on the direction of the sound?
Well, the one song we've done is definitely like, people that have heard it say it reminds them of the first two albums, so. I don't know. I'm just a guy in a band that plays music, I don't know.
I'm just a guy who listens to it.
We'll play it today, so you'll hear it.
All right.
Unless Justin doesn't want to, then no.
So you guys have a new drummer, Claudio Rivera.
Yep.
He was somewhat involved with the demo process of Go, from what I read. Where did you initially meet him, and what does he bring to the table?
Claudio, I've known Claudio for years. I mean, he had a band in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, maybe early 2000s. That was a flip side. It was like a ska band. And then he was in this band called Somerset, which is a Minneapolis band as well. And we played shows with them every once in a while in the early days. And they would play some of our college shows and just friends. And then a Warped Tour, I think 2004, I think we hired him to be a drum tech on tour with us. And then we just, you know, he's been a friend ever since. We play board games all the time. And then he got the gig with Saves the Day, kind of through our camp. Saves the Day had reached out about people and we brought him that. And, you know, he played with them for a while. And so we've just been touring, knowing him. He's like, he's our best friend. We've hung out all the time. And then this opportunity arose and it just fits so well that it couldn't be denied that this would what we should do. Because he's a great drummer.
All right. So let's see. So you and Justin sort of live in the same city from what I know. But everyone else is kind of spread out and that helps you decompress after a long tour, I suppose.
Sure. Not anymore though. Claudio lives in Minneapolis. And so now it's actually helping us to get more done. And so we're able to be more proactive and stay more active in writing music instead of going so dormant when we all split up. Which is a nice change. We're happy about that change.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because maybe with you, all three of you now together, does that mean you'll be writing together more as opposed to individually?
Yeah, we have been. The other dudes come in for, they've probably been out there for about 6 weeks with us, but we're able to go practice every day now and write music and just see what happens. So it's definitely turned the gas pedal on the writing process and allowed us to really, plus we need to get, that bond with Claudio, whatever, 10 years, 11 years with Tony, so you got to get that kind of bond that's not going to come quick.
Since you and Justin have done some production work for other bands, do you see yourselves continuing down that path?
Yeah, I love to produce music, and I love to be involved. You just got to find the right bands, and the right bands have to find you. I'm not really out pursuing it and saying, like, hey, you should record with me. But if someone feels that they want what I have to offer, I love to do it, and just depends, just the right time and the right type of music.
All right, bands, hit them up on Twitter. Maybe. I don't know.
Sure. Always looking for it. Costs a lot of money. No, it doesn't. Just
kidding. All right, so what else is on the horizon for the band the rest of the year?
We have a couple co-headlining tours that are going to happen this fall and winter, but I can't announce them yet. So very soon you'll know. Very soon you'll know.
All right, I always end interviews with this question. Stuck in a desert island, one album rest of your life?
I think Pixies Doolittle would do me all right.